Chapter 10. "A moment more," apostrophe said Tackleton. "Don't commit any violence. It's of no use. It's dangerous too. You're a strong-made man, and you might do murder before you know it." Apostrophe, the carrier looked him in the face, and recoiled a step, as if he had been struck. In one stride he was at the window, and he saw, "O shadow on the hearth! O truthful cricket! O perfidious wife!" He saw her, with the old man old no longer, but erect and gallant, bearing in his hand the false white hair that had won his way into their desolate and miserable home. He saw her listening to him, as he bent his head, to whisper in her ear, and suffering him to clasp her round the waist, as they moved slowly down the dim wooden gallery towards the door by which they had entered it. He saw them stop, and saw her turn to have the face he loved so presented to his view, and saw her, with her own hands, adjust the lie upon his head, laughing, as she did it, at his unsuspicious nature. He clenched his strong right hand at first, as if it would have beaten down a lion. But opening it immediately again, he spread it out before the eyes of Tackleton, for he was tender of her, even then, and so, as they passed out, fell down upon a desk, and was as weak as any infant. He was wrapped up to the chin, and busy with his horse and parcels, when she came into the room, prepared for going home. "Now, John, dear. Good night, May. Good night, Bertha." Apostrophe, could she kiss them? Could she be blithe and cheerful in her parting? Could she venture to reveal her face to them without a blush? Yes. Tackleton observed her closely, and she did all this. Tilly was hushing the baby, and she crossed and recrossed Tackleton a dozen times, repeating drowsily. Did the knowledge that it was to be its wife's then bring its hearts almost to breaking? And did its fathers deceive it from its cradles, but to break its hearts at last? Apostrophe, apostrophe, now, Tilly, give me the baby. Good night, Mr. Tackleton. Where's John, for goodness' sake? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he's going to walk beside the horse's head, apostrophe said Tackleton, who helped her to her seat. My dear John. Walk? Tonight? Apostrophe, the muffled figure of her husband, made a hasty sign in the affirmative, and the false stranger and the little nurse being in their places, the old horse moved off. Boxer, the unconscious Boxer, running on before, running back, running round and round the cart, and barking as triumphantly and merrily as ever. When Tackleton had gone off likewise, escorting May and her mother home, poor Caleb sat down by the fire beside his daughter, anxious and remorseful at the core, and still saying in his wistful contemplation of her, "Have I deceived her from her cradle, but to break her heart at last?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, the toys that had been set in motion for the baby had all stopped and run down long ago. In the faint light and silence, the imperturbably calm dolls, the agitated rocking horses with distended eyes and nostrils, the old gentlemen at the street doors, standing half doubled up upon their failing knees and ankles, the wry-faced nutcrackers, the very beasts upon their way into the ark, in twos, like a boarding school out walking, might have been imagined to be stricken motionless with fantastic wonder at not being false, or Tackleton beloved, under any combination of circumstances. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.